Come thou fount of every blessing. It's still being sung in these halls. Wasn't that beautiful this morning? A lot of energy there. And I thank you guys. The band, same thing. Our worship band came together, put together their hearts. And happy birthday to John. He's not with us this morning. He's over town. But can everybody just say happy birthday? All right, I'll tell him you said so. He is with Mom. Mom had a fall last night and a couple fractures in the right hip. I just talked to him at 10 this morning, and she's smiling today, and he's with her and making some decisions on what's next for her with rehab or possibly. He said, please tell him, pray for my mom. And it's his birthday. So he put her through a lot of pain years ago. Mom's returning the favor today. We love our band, and we love our church. And even though I want to say a lot of energy just went out the door, the Holy Spirit is coming in right now. Do you see him? Do you feel him? You should, because the energy is back. And I am thankful for you being here this morning. You have a lot of choices on a sleepy Sunday like this, don't you? So you come in here and rest your souls. Just rest your souls. And then you can kick up your feet a little bit later, too. That's fine. I have lots of scriptures. And we've been covering these, and they've been a lot of fun. Actually, there's a lot of fun in these scriptures. A lot of detail in these scriptures. A couple weeks back, just looking at this thing called Make It Happen. And Elisha and his story. He was suffering from an illness. And on his deathbed, a desperate king, lots of anxiety, wanting to know what was next in his life. He had been relying on Elisha all along, and he said, "You can't leave me hanging like this." And so he rushed to the deathbed to Elisha, and Elisha simply says, open the east window in this room that he's in. So he does. And then he says, pick up these arrows. Take your bow, pick up these arrows, and I want you to hit them on the ground. And he did not say stop, and unfortunately, Elisha noticed the king stopped after the third time. And what happened there is he was simply saying, guess what? You're going to completely destroy your enemies three times. If you'd have kept doing what I told you to do, unfortunately, you missed that. You would have total victory, but you're going to have these three victories. Enjoy them. There's more. You should have struck the ground five or six times, and you would have defeated our enemy. And then Elisha died and was buried. That was 2 weeks ago. Just looking at this honesty of, do we quit too early? And then the calling, we backed up last week talking about the calling of Elisha, and this was really cool as we found his history a little bit. And we found Elisha behind a yoke of oxen. He was literally in the field. He was literally plowing. How would you like to sit behind 12 oxen in the mud? Interesting viewpoint. And yet Elijah runs up and he throws his cloak on him and he says, you're the man. I want you to follow me. I'm going to show you some things and then I'm out of here. You've got it. Called him right out from plowing, not from prophet school or somewhere out there in theological school. He's just out there in the field just working. How many times have you seen great leaders in God's word called from simple tasks, right? Shepherds included. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. Take a look at it this morning. Your notes are loaded. I pick up with some great scripture, and we go through it like this. Here's your faith in action. Remember the two stories I just put together, the end of Elisha's time and the beginning of Elisha's time. Now, faith is the confidence that we all hope for. How many know this verse backwards and forwards? Yeah. Anybody want to finish it for me? Okay, great. Here we go. And the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. James chapter 1. And I'm going to read my version, not Reed's version. Do not merely listen to the word and play football. Reed, you ruined me for life on this one here. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. I love that story, the 5 cents per verse as you memorize these. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You ever done that before? Bad hair day? Okay, I don't want to look twice. But in this case, it's saying you forget what you look like. But whoever looks intently, here it is, into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Ephesians 3, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he's going to strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted, established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. Amen? Y'all awake? Yeah, this is good stuff. And to know that his love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Where have you heard that before? 1 minute pausers, okay? Sound familiar? Verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power, which is at work in us. To him be the glory in the church, right? In Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we lift you up today. We magnify you, King of kings, Lord of lords, God of wonders, hope of every heart. We thank you, Savior of the world. In this place, we find joy in your presence this morning. We ask that you would delight over us. We align our hearts with the theme of heaven, that your kingdom will come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for your perfect, matchless plan for our nation, our families, for our church, and for our lives. We're coming together around the throne of God today to remind ourselves that there is a center to this universe. It is not us. Amen? It's not. We surrender. We find freedom in your presence, Jesus. We give our cares, our concerns, our burdens, our worries. We give them all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. How's that feel? Ask your neighbor, did you come to church today to be a blessing?
Ask them right now.
Most come to church to be blessed. However, what if you came to church today to be a blessing? What if that was the case? Bless all that's in my soul, all that's in me. Bless his holy name. Worthy is the name of God that is the foundation of all the earth. He is the hope of our hearts, and we thank you today, God. Glory, all the praise, everything that can go his way. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So good. Man, the tone was set this morning. What a beautiful choir. What great words. So much history in the words that they were singing. All of it praise to him. Today we're looking briefly here at part three of this series called Make It Happen. Possibilities are endless. And I thought I might be able to keep some of the young people around with this, but they, I guess, had to check out of their hotel, according to the director there. But last week I showed a 20-second clip of an old movie. It is very dated, but it was one of my favorites growing up as a punk. And it's got Mr. Miyagi in here, and it's got the, anyone know the Karate Kid? You ever seen that movie? There's 20 seconds of it where he's telling him, listen, you keep getting yourself beat up. Here's what I want you to do, and here's some wax. Here's my car. Wax on, wax off. All right? And then we'll see what the final scene looks like. Daniel, we lost the choir, but I still want to play it today. Here we go.
Yeah, but I...
Wax on, right hand. Wax off, left hand. Wax on, wax off. Breathe in through nose, out the mouth. Wax on, Wax off. Don't forget to breathe. Very important. Wax on. Wax off. Wax on.
Sand the floor. Sand the floor. Big sucker. Sand the floor. Sand the floor. Now show me wax on, wax off. Hey.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Hey, wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand, thumb inside. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on. Wax off. Hush. Show me penta fence. Up, down. Up, down. Up, down. Other side. Look, I. Always look, I. Show me penta house. Side, side. Lock wrist. Side, side. Side, side. Yes. Show me wax on, wax off. That! Show me paint the fence.
That!
Show me side to side.
That!
Show me sand the floor.
Hat! Race! Yes! Stop!
Oi! And look, I always look, I come back tomorrow.
Together there at the end. The power of pre was last week, preparing yourself, precision. Are you enjoying this sermon series, y'all? It's for me. Is it okay for me to enjoy my own series? I've loved putting these verses together and seeing where they fit in my own life. I got some wax on, wax off moments I need to be taking care of in my life. I have some things I'm thinking of in my heart that just needs a little extra preparation here. We learn that God really wants to bless us, and He already has. The key to living in that blessing is our perspective. Most of us are not performing to the level of our potential, so we're performing at our level of preparation. We've been asking God to send it, and He's been asking for you to form it, because He can't fill it if it's not formed. In other words, get this stuff together in your life. Let me fill you with all these things that you're asking for, all these blessings. Get it together. And this is it. It's not going to take your pain away, getting it all together. However, perhaps you should start seeing your pain as preparation. God's not the one who hurt you. What hurt you can become healing, where God wants to take you. This was last week. Nothing you've been through has been wasted. Amen? Nothing you've been through has been wasted. There is no waste in God's economy. None. Nothing you've been through. God is preparing you for what He has prepared for you. 2 Kings 13, the passage about precision, where Elisha had to show the king where to shoot, how to focus. For the king's, his greatest promise was his greatest potential. And that's the thing, is we look at our promise and fall short of those things, blaming, excusing, wishing away things in our life, and those things get cultivated instead. Today we're talking about the power of potential. I'm not reviewing anymore. We've got to move forward. And earlier we talked about this power of preparation in these verses. But if you read closely in 2 Kings 13, you look at the unfulfilled potential. Elisha gets frustrated with the king. And the prophet showed the king which window to open, what to do. So the greatest thing we can ask God is not the opportunity but to show the opportunity that might not be seen or even seen correctly. To show how our position and our lives need to see the opportunity. To be shown how an obligation is an opportunity. To be shown how to make it happen so that when we're at work or picking up the kids at school and they're in the back of the golf cart, there's more than just transportation going on there. There's more than just an opportunity to just take them somewhere, drive them somewhere, or a boat ride for an hour and 5 minutes. Elisha tells the king to open the east window and shoot. God does not bless you on just hearing his word, but your application of it. You can write that somewhere if you want. Apply God's word to your life. Don't just hear it. Don't just merely listen. James 1. But go play football. Sorry, Reed. Messing me up there. No, do it, it says. Do something with it. And it's a shame. We all have these Bible apps and these translations on our phone, but we go to Facebook first. For the king, he did what Elisha told him to do. Symbolic of victory, to some extent. And then things changed. He won a few battles. Because the king took a half-hearted approach, though, he didn't win all the battles. God had literally given him an ordained opportunity. What Elisha told the king to do next are symbolic of all those little acts of obedience. You ever felt like things that God tells you to do sometimes don't make sense? Anybody? Anybody here felt like that? It just doesn't make sense. I need a little bit more information. This part right here does not make sense. And we have to take aim to take action. God turns around, and this is some of the stuff that we were looking at. We learned that sometimes we have this perseverance that's needed, but it seems pointless. It seems pointless. I sit back and I look at some of the struggles in the last year and some of the things happening even in our own city. 2 Kings 13, verse 18. So the king was told to take the arrows and strike the ground. And we've studied it. We've looked at it backwards and forwards. We flipped it over. You should have. And then you would have is a sad place to live. It's one thing to fall short. It's another thing to stop short. And if this young man that was on the screen had decided to just stop short, news is, he would have had a serious kicking at the end of that movie. He would have really been beat up. But instead, he took it to the next level. He had a great coach. There was a comedian that years ago I used to appreciate, and he said one time during a stand-up act of all things, I did not prepare for what I'm going to say tonight, okay, which triggered a ton of laughter right off the bat right there. He said, no, I'm serious. I never prepare. That is my strategy, he said, because if I prepare and I bomb during the act, the only conclusion that I can reach is that I suck. If I don't prepare and I bomb during the stand-up act, I can tell myself that if I tried harder, I would have done it better. And if I don't prepare and I don't bomb, I can tell myself it was a miracle. So not preparing is my new strategy. It's about as twisted as it gets right there. But that reflects human nature. Where we need to say, I do want to fall short, so I will stop short. So we fall short anyway. Key point from Elisha. 2 Kings 13. The pain of falling short is nothing compared to the shame of stopping short. The shame of stopping short. Nothing worse than saying, I should have if I would have. These big wave surfers that tow themselves or have people tow them into these enormous waves. And then you see one of them completely wipe out and they're just underneath getting just rocked all different directions. They don't know which end is up. And then when they finally get towards the surface, here comes another one on the head. And they're even deeper this time around. And you see these guys that surround that accident that aren't even with the team that are towing them in. And they're going after this person to save them just as if they were their very own, so that when they get up to the beach at night, when they go home, they're not thinking, I woulda, I coulda, I shoulda. They just do it. They may not even like each other, but they know, I'm not going to think that way. I'm just going to go for it. There's nothing worse than saying, I should have if I would have. We all have areas of our life. I do too, where we're not living up to our full potential. January 1st, 1963, a young guitar band auditioned for three executives at Decca Records. Anyone? Anyone? Decca Records. Yeah? Janie, you got it? They were rejected after 15 songs were played. Name of the band? The Beatles. Often called the worst decision ever made in music history. A lot of times when people ask me how I size up potential, you want to know my secret? I guess, and I take chances. I do. I don't look for potential. I look for patterns of behavior. Did you show up? Did you get it done? Do you have an enthusiastic attitude? By the way, if you're looking for a spouse or to marry someone, don't look for potential. Look for patterns, right? Because potential is unpredictable. He has potential is a bad reason to say, I do. Yes, he may have potential, but he also has a high credit card debt. That's probably the result of poor spending patterns. And this pattern has the potential to keep you very broke until death do us part. So you want to stick with those patterns. And if you don't pay attention to the patterns, you could project potential onto someone that does not have it to serve a purpose for a need that you need to be met. Does that make sense? Projecting those things on someone else. You're not Joanna Gaines, a fixer-upper. The phrase, you have potential, is overrated. If Decca Records could not recognize the Beatles, what does that say about us? Elisha was a field hand. He was behind oxen, literally looking at their rear ends in the mud, working the fields day after day. What does that say about what God is looking for? He received his calling where God was meeting him in a career of prophetic ministry that would literally shake the foundations of the whole nation. And it did. And Elisha did not see this coming. This is why we say potential is unpredictable. You have no idea what might be in you. Therefore, don't sell yourself short during this season of your life. I'm speaking to myself. You have no idea what God might see in you that you don't see in yourself. Amen? He sees things differently. He looks at you with a different eye. The unlimited God looks inside you. You were made in his image, redeemed for his glory, shining like a star in the universe, in a city on a hill that can't be hidden. Tell your neighbor, you have no idea who you're sitting next to right now. You look at him and say, neither do you. You have no idea. No idea. You have no idea what you might do. You have no idea what God could do through you. There's a lot of things happening in this world right now. A lot of things happening in this nation. A lot of things happening on this island. A lot of things happening in Avalon right now. A lot of things happening with an election year and people moving and sparring for position and power. Where will you be found? Where will you be found when God says it's time for you? Will you take the lowest seat at the table till God calls you up? Will you be behind the oxen in the field when he comes around and the cloak lands on top of you and says, follow me? Or do you think you're a leader? And as a result, you look behind you, there's nobody following. John Maxwell there, 17 Laws of Leadership. This sermon is unpredictable. You have no idea where it's going to go. I don't either. The highest ideal. See Paul's letter to Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now to him. Paul says humility is where it's at. Now to him who is able to do all of these things. The power that has worked within us, it's moving. This sermon can go anywhere you want it to go. However, if I held back on this and I only gave you 70% of what God was talking to me about, you wouldn't get the full potential. Faith is the willingness to go hard, even if is not answered. Faith is a willingness to make the investment, to trust God on the return for whatever source, however he chooses to deliver it. This morning, I got something from God, and it came through this dude standing right here. Did you see him with all the hair? Did you see him? Fountain Valley guy? Had a lot of hair. I was warned before the service. Mary Lou goes, you got to watch the guy with all the hair right here. So I was looking for him specifically. And yeah, she was right. The song kind of warmed up, and he was doing this, and all of a sudden, yeah. Right? It, passion came out. The words came out. There's a student on fire. Loves his music, man. Man, if you're a conductor, you're a leader of a band, that stuff's priceless. That's what God is looking for. Says, man, I'm not going to give you everything, but I want to see what do you have for me? What can I use? And it's raw. It gets a kick in the rear end a lot. Wax on, wax off, and black eyes here and there. God says, you're the one. You're the one. I want that. That right there is what I'm looking for. Bring it. Ecclesiastes 11, King Solomon tells us, everything is unpredictable. Pretty smart guy. Faith is a willingness to strike the ground with every arrow that you've got, not knowing if it's going to make a difference at all. Maybe it'll grow. Maybe it's going to die. At least we'll know. And at least we'll have a story. And at least we'll have scars. I would rather fall short than to stop short. Amen? I don't want to reach my full potential. That's called a funeral. Sure, all we have seen these motivational posters or everyone, they talk about unlimited potential. Paul says to continue to press forward, man. Keep reaching, bro. In his letter to the Philippians, he says, I'm convinced of this. I know that I'm going to remain and continue with all of you for your progress and the joy and the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound. Why? Because it's account of me. I like that. That's not prideful. He's saying, you're kicking butt because I never gave up. Thank goodness. I see something now, and I get it. But he doesn't stop along the way. The point of having my life purpose and the point of having my goals reached is not that I will reach that as a goal itself, but that I will run after it all the days of my life. Get it? You don't stop. The point of potential is not that I'll reach it, but that I'll run after it all the days of my life. In places, our lives where we are not like Christ, they're the areas of the heart where God can fill it with himself. You awake this morning? You're listening? This is what God wants for you this morning. This is what he had for me this whole week. Potential is filled with purpose. It's filled with purpose. God wants to fill you with himself. Could it be that the enemy has been telling you that you've been falling short of your potential? By measuring you against something that has nothing to do with your purpose at all. Does this finding liberate you? It does me. All you have to do is produce more of what is in you. Get that stuff going. When we look at men in our, we have a sweet, cool men's group called Wild Men West. It's a great group, and I love it. I'm part of a great group of guys that love to lead it. And the bottom line here is, we don't look at men and say, hey, Three strikes, bro. You're out of the kingdom. Okay? That's not how this works. We look at the glory in the guy. We look at what God has set inside him that is good. And we want to bring that out, and we want to bring that up to the surface. And we want God to do something with the good that is there. Because every one of us have stuff in our lives. And every one of us can hear about all the things that we keep doing wrong. But where is the good? What does God have on the ship that's good? What is it that the heart is missing? What is it missing in his life that God says, I came to seek and to save what was lost? Not the lost. What was lost? The heart. The more I learn about my purpose, the more the nature of my prayers and even my persistence changes. My frame of reference does not become what someone else can do. So don't compare myself. No one can believe God for you. Students or kids in the room, it's not your parents' faith that's going to matter down the line. This is your faith. They can only believe God with you. If your heart is a leaky bucket, and then there's no amount of encouragement that can be poured into it that can sustain you, for you have got to be strengthened. I've had that feeling. No one arrow was shot just anywhere, okay? It was the arrow that was shot out of the east window. This arrow here pointed here. I'm going to shut all these other windows. I can't get this one fixed this year, 2020. This is too much. This is too much right here. This is too much. God wants me to open this window. This right here has not been going well. I'm going after this one this year. I'm pointing my arrow in this direction. One arrow shot out of the east window. The king should have been striking the ground till there were no arrows left. This is what it's meant to make it happen and keep pressing towards the prize. Say this with me. We are not going to have any arrows left on the ground at the end of 2020. And we are going to get the full potential of our efforts. Yes. Hey, high five somebody next to you, man. Nothing left on the ground. Nothing left on the ground. Nothing left on the ground. Are you keeping spare arrows laying around? Hey, let me tell you something. Unused potential can become poisonous. We can drink milk. However, if you let it sit out for a year, that same provision will kill you. Some of you have poisonous potential that's keeping you miserable. You're sitting on your fanny because you won't do what God set for you to do. I can say that. You know why? I'm one of them. I've had to get off my fanny. I've had to have people stick M80s under there and get me off the pew. Get me in the game. And you know in your heart you can be engaged at a deeper level. Potential can be provision or it can be poison. Mary Lou, if you can come on up. You have no idea what's in you, my friends. I'd like for you to just close your eyes for a minute. Some of you have already done that, so just keep sleeping. Just close your eyes for a minute. You have no idea what's in you. You never will unless you embrace the process. If you ask God to show you what to do, God will counter with the question, here it is, what will you do? Your potential is not some distant imaginary place. If I had only married this person, if I'd only married Mary, what you have in your hand right now is your potential. Congregation, I would rather stop short trying than stop short wondering. I would rather find out that I did not have it and the subsequent pain of failure than live in an imaginary future. The only way to see it is to strike the ground leave no arrows left on the ground. It's only potential if you apply it to your purpose. That same resurrection power that was in Christ Jesus can awaken your potential. If you'll stand with me. This is an interesting prayer. I'm going to pray with you. Because originally it wasn't said as a prayer. It was a speech from a certain president. But I've read this over and over again. And this speech goes right here with 2 Kings, my friends. If you're going to make it happen, you've got to look at your potential as being endless. And there is opposition to that. There is an enemy. And he's all around it. He's all around this thing called endless possibilities. If you'll pray with me. Avalon Church, it's not the critic who counts. It's not the man or the woman who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. Church, the credit belongs to the congregation who's actually in the arena, whose faces are marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strive valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming. But a group of people who do actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, they know great devotions, they spend themselves in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement. And that's your work, God. And who at the worst, if they fail, at least they fail while daring greatly. The supernatural highs and the supernatural lows, where God, you meet us in both. So that our place as a church congregation shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Theodore Roosevelt. On track with Scripture this morning. Don't quit. Your fullest potential awaits. Make the sacrifices. Line up your arrows the right direction. Shut the windows that don't need opening right now. And look and see, where is God pointing me? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.